A very good morning to you. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Nedarim Ayin Ches, Nedarim 78a, pagination is 155. We'll start from the facing page, three lines from the bottom. Omar Rabbi Yochanan taught. We are aware, until this point, of two ways that a vow can be undone. If we're dealing with a woman who's either has a father with jurisdiction on her, meaning she's of younger age, or this woman is married so that the husband has a degree of jurisdiction here, then there's a concept of hafara where the husband or father can negate the vow. In addition, we're aware of something called hataras nedarim, which we're most familiar with from the procedure on Erev Rosh Hashanah, where we do Hataras Nedarim, in which a three-panel court, if you will, but the court we mentioned is a little bit more of an expression, but it's three people are able to undo the vow. Rabbi Yochanan tells us, Chacham Sha'omar B'Loshan Ba'al, if the wise man says it in the wording that's reserved for a husband, Ubaal Sha'amar Balashon Chacham, or a husband used the wording that's reserved for the wise man, Lo Omar Klum, it doesn't work. These two methods, one of Hafara and one of Hatara, are not interchangeable. Ze Hadavar, this is the way it has to be done, and they're not interchangeable. Let's take a look at the Ran on the bottom of the page, three lines up. Quoting from the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, the Ran says, "Dahaino mufar lich, if the Chacham would say that it's negated, ubal sha'amar b'lashon Chacham, or the husband who would say mutar lach." And the Ran explains, the reason this doesn't work is because Lashon Ba'al Mefurash Hu Bikasuv. The wording that the husband is supposed to use is written clearly in the Pasuk, Da'inu Lashon Hafara, Isha Yefeirenu. And that's how he has to do it. The Lashon Chacham and the method of Hatara that's used by the wise person is because the Pasuk says, Lo yachel devaro, you shall not violate, you shall not make chulin your word. Remember that the original nedarim is learnt from a karban that a person can designate lahashem. And therefore, the word chulin, meaning mundane or secular, non-hektish, is most appropriate. A person is not allowed to make whatever he decided would be sacred to him, like a karban. He can't make it chulin. Vidarshinon, and we learn from Lo Yachel Devaru, he's not allowed to violate his word. Avalacherim mochalin lo. But there is a method by which other people, this panel of three, can make it good. They can undo it. They can make it secular or mundane. Uvechulin, and when you're dealing with chulin, mutar shayech lememar behu. It's appropriate to say the word mutar. And therefore we have to be very specific. Mufar for a husband or a father, and mutar for the chacham or the panel of three that are doing hataras nedarim. Moving on to today's daf, one of the nuances that just slid in is that when we were talking of a panel of three, the wording of Rabbi Yochanan was chacham, a wise person, meaning in the singular. So let's drop down about 10 lines, at the end of a line. Omer Rav Acha bar Yaakov l'achshe shlosha hedyotos. Three regular people, reasonably knowledgeable, are kosher to do hatoras nedarim. Amar Rav Chista v'itemir Rabbi Yochanan biyochid mumche, or a single person who's an expert. Now, on a practical level, the way it's brought in halacha is we do not practice yochid mumcha, an individual person who's an expert to do ataras nedarim, but that's where the expression comes from. A chacham in the singular was doing ataras nedarim in the time of the Gemara. That was possible to be done. In our time, again, we do the method of shlosha hedyotos, three regular, reasonably knowledgeable people. Now, if you take a look at the Ran, outer commentary, on our page, the Ran explains, Habaal Omer Muferloch v'hazokin Omer ein kan neder ein kan shavua, where the Ran is still wide lines at the top. The husband says Mufar, that's what we've been discussing, v'hazokin Omer, and the Chacham, or the panel of three, are going to say either muter loch, as we said on the bottom of the previous page, or ein kan neder, ein kan shavua. There is no vow here. There is no oath. Ulefize mashmali, and it appears to me, the Ran says, the lishna de mefer shayich mikan ve'eloch, the way mufar works, is that it's going from now and onwards. V'lishna de mutar, when you say it's permitted, that it never was a vow, bedavar shahaya muta me'ikaro, you're making it permitted from the very beginning, which is the style of Ataras Nedarim. It's figuring out a reason that you never would have made the vow had you known something specific. Let's examine the wording of Ataras Nedarim that's used on Erev Rosh Hashanah, after the petitioner to the court makes his presentation of what it is that he wants us to be matir, we say the words, Hakol yomutarim lach, everything should be permitted, Hakol mechulim lach, which some people translate to mean everything should be forgiven to you, Hakol shruyim lach, everything should be allowed. And we say that three times. The entire paragraph is said three times, including the words, ein kan lo neder velo shavua. There should not be here, not a neder and not a shavua, which is what the Ran introduced for us in this statement. Different ways to articulate on behalf of the panel of three, or the Chacham, that the neder should be mutar. One observation, the wording hakol mechulim lach, which some translate as it should be forgiven, might more properly have its roots in the word chulin, meaning secular. As we mentioned, a neder is compared to something that's kadosh for the Beis HaMikdash, and just like a korban would be off limits, so he's making this loaf of bread off limits to himself, or wine is off limits like a korban. And therefore, when we say hakol mechulim lach, it could very well be that the origin of the word is chulin, like the Ran used on the bottom of the page here, that it should be chulin, secular, weekday, mundane, permitted, and not forgiven. And this really goes to the essence of Ataras Nedarim, which many people have this mood, this aura about it, that it's a very religious type experience, like Kol Nidre type of thing. And we need to clarify that really fundamentally, it's a legal thing. We are undoing the vows. It has a lot of religious connotation because traditionally people would make vows when they were struggling to achieve a spiritual goal. So they would make an oath about it. If they were trying to be better. They might make an oath against wine. They might make an oath that's going to spur them on to spiritual greatness. But fundamentally, the dynamic that's being done is a legal thing. Something is forbidden. We want to make it permitted. Whatever reasoning we have that it was made by mistake, and we undo it. It's a legal type thing. And the legality here is that we're taking something that's kadosh and making it chulin. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.